The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome. I'm so glad that you have joined us for The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus' apprentices, where we are trying to learn how to be like Jesus, to love like Him, and to serve like Him. As you know, the community of apprentices of Jesus here at The Rescue Worker, we have a motto. And the motto for our community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That it is the way that the apprentices of Jesus should live. At least that's what we're trying to do here at The Rescue Worker. Try to live by this motto. We are on our 10th week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And today is the last day of the 10th week. And I praise God for all the daily broadcasts. I praise God for you being with us. I praise God because so far we were able to accomplish these live broadcasts every single day, and we have an archive of them that is available on Facebook, YouTube, and also on podcast, and you can reach and listen to them. I think so far we have 45 sessions on the Gospel of Luke, trying to understand who was Jesus, trying to understand the narrative of Luke and what he has to teach us about who was Jesus and what Jesus did, how Jesus loved. And I don't know about you, but it has been a blessing for me. But I pray that you have been blessed as well. Today we'll be studying the third beatitude of Luke chapter 6. And is the second part of verse 21. And next week, we'll continue our journey on the Beatitudes and as also on the Sermon of the Plain, right? Or if we refer to Matthew, the Sermon of the Mountain. And our memory verse for this week comes from the first Beatitude from Luke 6:20. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Oh, I don't know about you, but the kingdom of God is something that is an answer for all the needs of my soul. I didn't know that I needed the kingdom until I learned about the kingdom and how the kingdom is inclusive. How the kingdom brings hope for the marginalized. How the kingdom goes after those that really need. And it is so beautiful. And I do believe that for our understanding today of the third beatitude, we need the Holy Spirit. And for that, we need to come to God and ask Him for the Holy Spirit. We know that every time we come to God, God is waiting for us, waiting with a blessing. That's what Hebrews 4:16 says. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Come to God. Come right now. Ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you, to bless you, to give you grace and mercy, and to help you to understand what is the message for today. And more important than understanding what Jesus is saying here is applying it to our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit for that. So take this minute that I will provide you right now to pray. To ask God's direction, to ask God for enlightenment, for power, for the Holy Spirit, and the means to apply the lessons in your life. And after this minute, we'll come and study and reflect about Luke chapter 6, verse 21, the second part. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, for your care, for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask and we claim for the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and ears so we can see your love and hear your voice. Help us to understand today, Lord, your message for us. Help us, Lord, to apply these lessons. And help us, Lord, to be close to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We come to verse 21, second part. But where we are? Well, after Luke presenting who was Jesus, building upon previous information. So each time he provides one element about who is Jesus, and he builds upon that. He comes to the climax saying Jesus is God. So now he turns to the second segment. Okay, what Jesus, who is God, is telling us? What are the values, the teachings of Jesus? And now we are in this segment known as the Sermon of the Mountain, or the Sermon of the Plain, where we see what Jesus, the God, the Anointed One, the Messiah, is sharing with his followers and apprentices. And these lessons that Jesus is sharing, they are crucial. And they are so powerful that we need to keep in mind even the typology that we have here with Moses. You see, Moses had an experience with the people of Israel going through the Red Sea, the experience in the water or through the water. Then the experience in the desert. Then Moses goes to the Sinai mountain, meet with God, and comes down and presents to the people God's will for their lives. And God's will for their lives of humankind has been studied and proclaimed on the Ten Commandments and other values that was presented by God to Moses and Moses presented to the people of Israel. But here we see the same flow, Jesus going through the experience of the water through baptism, going the wilderness. And now he goes up to the mountain, he stays with the Father. And when he comes back, he presents the will of God, the desire of God, the law, presents what direction we should go. And I think we should keep in mind this concept that what we're studying here is more than the teachings of God, Jesus. They are the laws of God, the directions of the God's kingdom, the principles and values. We have studied two principles and values already. Blessed are the poor and blessed are the hungry. And today we are in the second part of verse 21. God blesses who, or God blesses you who weep now. For in due time, you will laugh. Huh.
weep.
How can we be blessed when we weep? Usually when we weep, and even the word here that is a different word from what Matthew used, is a weep or tears related to suffering, brokenness. How am I blessed if I'm weeping right now? What that means? And how that, what that doesn't mean to the reality of people at biblical times. Before I talk about that and maybe unfold a little bit, someone asked me yesterday, Pastor, I thought the Beatitudes were related to spiritual matters. And I understand that because Matthew, it looks like is the Beatitudes are related to spiritual matters. Blessed are the poor of the spirit. Oh, blessed are those that are thirst and hungry for justice or righteousness, right? There is a kind of a spiritual connotation. But somehow here Luke has a more down to earth. Yes, is the poor, is the marginalized. Yes, are those that don't have what you eat. So, Pastor, which one is the right one? Well, both. Both. And I know we like to compartmentalize things, right? So that is spiritual, that is for us, that is work, that is life, that is God. But in the Hebrew mindset, everything belongs to God. No matter what you do, if you're eating or drinking, do for the glory of God, everything is one. And for sure, for Matthew, for his account, it is important to focus on this more on the spiritual matters. But for Luke, it is important to relate to the reality, right? The true poor that in Luke is the marginalized, the one that is cast out for many reasons, socioeconomic, gender, ethnicity, and other aspects, right? And that shows how deep the lessons of God are. Like the blessing is not just for those that are poor in a sense of spirit, that they understand that they don't know everything, that they need God for their lives, right? But for those that really are poor. And I like to study this perspective because every time we study the Beatitudes, we just focus, or most of the time, on that spiritual aspect or perspective. And here Luke presents the other perspective. So which one is right? Both are right. Both are inclusive. Both, we could see in both ways. But somehow I feel that Luke is more related to the real aspects of being poor, being hungry, and someone that is weeping, is crying. And here, the word that Luke uses is a more generic crying. There is no, it's not such a specific reason for this crying, right? But it's someone that is broken. Maybe because of a circumstance, because of their spirituality, because maybe he's poor and he doesn't have what to eat. Therefore, he's crying because he is in need. This cry can be related to problems in the family, problems in the marriage, problem with siblings, problems in relationship. This cry can be related to problems or situations in the work field, anything that breaks your heart. And the idea here that God will, in the due time, will bring laugh, right? And it's not just comfort, as Matthew brings. It's like you will smile. Brings what we call here a theology of the comfort. God providing comfort. So, let's try to understand through the lens maybe of a Pharisee. Okay, I wanna give you a Bible verse. I think will help us to understand. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Pay attention, because We're trying to understand through the religious understand of things at Jesus' time, right? 28 verse 9. God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. Another version says that God does not listen those that don't obey God's commandment. So, for the Pharisees, if someone is weeping and crying, and God has not answered that plea, that God has not comforted that person, the reason is because that person is not aligned with God, is not obeying God. So he's crying because God has not comforted this person. And if he's crying and God has not comforted this person, it is because this person is not keeping God's law. This person is not faithful to God. Therefore, if the person is not faithful to God, is breaking the law, I need to be away from this person. I cannot be around this person. This person is in sin. Therefore, I cannot be around this person. Remember that being happy or blessed in the context of the Hebrew Bible and here is not having circumstances, right? Or, oh, today I'm happy I had a new haircut. I'm happy because I have a new clothes. I'm happy because I got this toy, a new job. Or being happy or being blessed in the Bible differs from what we understand today that is related to circumstance, events, or even a feeling. In the Bible is being aligned with God, being accepted by God, loved by God. And that is a contrast. Like how a person that is crying, if a person is crying, is because that person was not comforted by God. And if it's not comforted by God, because the person doesn't keep the law. But this person is in connection with God. It is connect with God. It's okay with God. And at the same time, is crying, right? That's a contrast for the people and the religious people of the time. Because if the people were faithful to God, yes, according to Deuteronomy 28, if you're faithful and obey the commandments, you laugh. You have food, you prosper, you have health, wealth. And when you don't obey in Deuteronomy 28, yeah, you cry, you have diseases, you will not have food, you not prosper, right? So what's very clear and very related to obeying God's law. And then for me to be in alignment with God, first I need to obey God, appease God, being faithful to God's commandments. But here, we have this contrast that a person that's weeping is aligned with God. And I want to tell you that those that are faithful, they cry. And they can cry for many reasons. That even though that you are faithful to God, you will face tears and your heart will be broken. But because God's kingdom has manifested, his manifestation will come to comfort. You see, what we're studying here and the unfolding of these lessons of God is based on what I usually say, Luke 4, verse 18-19. The direction, the itinerary of Jesus' ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim captives that will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come. So that is what Jesus does, and his teachings is unfolding from here. And as you know, and I have mentioned that before, these verses, it's a kind of compilation that Jesus made from Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 58. And I want to go to Isaiah 61, because in Isaiah 61, on the context of what we see here, of this mission of Jesus Christ, we see a very interesting element, the element of comfort, God's comfort. And I'll read verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, and to proclaim that captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. And he has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So you see, the time of Lord's favor, the grace of God, the Jubilee year where God provides for things that we don't deserve, is related to the message of comfort for those that mourn. So what that means is that grace manifests itself bringing comfort. Grace brings comfort. So where there is a need to be comfort, there is a space, a place for grace to manifest. So blessed are those that are weeping because grace can manifest itself. The God of the comfort can come and manifest himself. God, the comfort that can comfort, he can manifest to those that are broken heart because of their spiritual life. Well, God can bring the shalom, the peace. Those that mourn can be comforted because God can manifest the kingdom of God with the hope of the resurrection, the second coming. The comfort is the foundation of God's graceful kingdom. And as Jesus manifests himself, he was comforting those that maybe they did not have what to eat, and then they are crying. And now because they have food, they are smiling. Those that don't have forgiveness and feel that they are far from God, they are confident when they see and experience God's love. Those that are facing a challenge on their family, and because of the manifestation of God's kingdom, they see smiles. Comfort where you don't see how to restore what is broken and start a new life on this new reality. And now God presents to you strength that will lead you to smile. It is interesting that the comfort of God and the grace are so connected and so part of of God's kingdom that when we go to the fulfillment or the consummation of God's kingdom on this new earth that will be recreated by God in Revelation 21, on verse 4, we read that God will wipe away all the tears and people will not cry anymore, nor more death and tears, because everything is in the past. So the kingdom of God brings comfort, is the manifestation of the grace, comfort, and love. And as we experience the kingdom, we will experience comfort. You see, in the Bible, the question is not so much about why you are crying. What's the reason? Is it because you did something? What's the cause? Is because someone has done something to you? Or is just because of the the structure or this broken system of sin? Or even, oh, is the devil that brought that? Or is God that allowed or brought to your life? The question is not where it comes from, but what God can do with that. And what God can do with weeping is the manifestation of grace that will bring comfort and bring laugh. Psalm 126 talks about that. Verse 5 and 6, Psalm 26, verse 5 and 6 says, those who plant in tears will harvest with joy, shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with their harvest. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of comfort. It's a kingdom of joy. So no matter what you're facing your right now that broken your heart, it does not matter where it came from. What does matter is the grace that will manifest to comfort you. I hope I didn't leave any questions in presenting that for the Pharisees, someone that is crying or broken is because not keeping the law. Because the Bible presents many times people that didn't keep the law, but God comforted them or restored them or intervened to them. That goes beyond, much beyond. And maybe one day we can study that. But the point here is where there is space for the manifestation of the kingdom should manifest itself. And the kingdom manifests through grace and the grace of comfort. So you need to allow God to manifest himself in your life, bringing comfort. And you should be an agent of God's grace, bringing comfort for those that are crying. Crying because of sin, crying because of issues of life, crying because what they don't have what to eat, crying because they don't have hope. We supposed to be agents of life, of grace, bringing the comfort and the love that God has. That is so powerful. That is so beautiful. That God is concerned with us. And here, God bless you who weeps now. It's not in the future. It is now. God's comfort, it is now available to you right now. No matter what you need, God is available to comfort you. And we should comfort people. Therefore, they can laugh and do time. Are you an agent of comfort? Are you a citizen of God that is promoting comfort? Or are you someone that is oppressing, bringing tears, segregating, doing not what God's kingdom does? Because where God's kingdom manifests, things change for a better way. And a second question that I have for you, are you experiencing God's kingdom, the grace of God, through comfort in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your grace that manifests through comfort of those that are broken. Your comfort that manifests in those that are weeping for no matter reason, for issues of this life, for spiritual matter, for lack of forgiveness, for lack of salvation, for health issues, no matter what, God's kingdom presents a way out, a comfort that starts now, but will receive the full plenitude at the consummation of the kingdom. So, Lord, help us to experience this comfort right now. I don't know who is listening to my voice right now, Lord, but you know. And you know them and what has happening in their life and if their heart are broken or not. Lord, manifest your grace, bringing comfort and laugh. Manifest in my life, Lord. Heal my wounds and bring smiles. Lord, help us to be agents of the kingdom, apprentices of Jesus, that will not oppress people, will not hurt people, not make them cry, but we will make and promote the kingdom that will lead them to have comfort and smiles. Forgive our sins and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions and the questions for reflection. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you. Next week, we will continue our study. We will start with the fourth beatitude. Then we will study the four condemnations. So basically, that is the script or the plan for next week. And we'll take a few weeks to cover this lessons that Jesus present after coming from the mountain and after receiving that direction from the Father. I pray that God will be with you, bless you, and you will have a great weekend. And remember, God's kingdom is a kingdom of consolation. Receive this consolation and be part of this kingdom, comforting other people.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.